So we're starting this week's Nine Hertz podcast with the amazing band Friend from Newcastle. I have to say, I absolutely love their Bandcamp URL. It's friendthebandfromnewcastle.bandcamp.com. So if you want to find the version they've put out here, you can find it there. Yeah, that was a song called International Top Bloke, which, yeah, kind of sums up this kind of tongue-in-cheek release, really. Pete, I'd already heard this because I think the Independent Music Podcast played it, but you know, it's people from Lovely Wife and various other bands from that area. It's brilliant, isn't it? It's just so, like, deliciously sludgy. I loved every second when I heard it before, and, like, playing it again just kind of hammers that home.
Yeah. I mean, it's so many good bands from Newcastle at the moment. You know, there's, you know, you get the suspicion now that's probably the most interesting place for music in our underground at the moment. You know, it's such a wide, innovative range of music, and you know, it's whether it's sludgy or noisy or psychedelic or just weird, and yet you find these bands weekly. You know, I only realized this after I picked them, but I've picked two bands which feature members of each other this week, both from Newcastle. You know, it's just further evidence. You know, it's a smoking gun to kind of, you know, in the coronation of Newcastle. Anyway, it must be an amazing place to be right now, I think. And you know, and whatever gigs have you know, re-emerged, it must be an amazing place. So, yeah, this blew me away. I absolutely loved it. It's like you say, it is sludge, but it's got a kind of, you know, playfulness to it. You know, I came across it because it's on Human Worth. Everything they do is brilliant. We say that every time because we play everything they do pretty much. They give money to charity for all their releases. This time, you know, I think it's the Newcastle Women's Centre. So, you know, further reason to invest in this. And just the music. You know, it feels like sludge created by like noise rock weirdos. A bit like Shit and Shine almost when they're at their most doom.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there was bits where it reminded me of like Big Business, Unsane, and Iron Monkey, you know, like pure sludge. And it's, you know, and that's a kind of a bit of a lazy journalistic amalgamation, but you know, it's every bit as brilliant as that, you know, as you can imagine the three of those being.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like so many people have picked up on this that I think there's only about two tapes left on here. So, by the time this comes out, I fully expect that to be sort of sold out, really. So you can find that via friendthebandfromnewcastle.bandcamp.com or via Human Worth Records. So yeah, definitely check that out. It's just so much fun. So as ever, it's the Nine Hertz podcast. It's nine amazing tracks that we found from Scouring the Underground and through submissions and beyond. Next up, I found a band quite by accident, really, called Onion on Trouble in Mind Records. I think I got the email from Trouble in Mind. We've played sort of various bands from them before, a sort of label from Chicago. It's always strange stuff, slightly off kilter, slightly odd. And I just thought this was quite interesting. It's quite sort of almost like no wave at times. Lots of synth, sort of nods to the band Suicide, maybe. I just thought it was just really like a quirky little album, and the whole record's quite interesting. Nothing really kind of goes beyond 2 or 3 minutes, and it's kind of pop if pop was kind of limited to very basic synthy garage sort of rock from the 80s. I just thought it was just like a nice little curiosity. What did you make of this one, Pete? It's not it's not really sort of usual Nine Hertz fare.
No. But I liked it. I liked it a lot, which surprised me itself, actually. There's a mention of X-ray specs in there. It reminded me of this like very personal kind of experience. But when I was at university, I had some friends who were kind of a lot older. So when I was 18, 19, I mean, they were in their 30s. They're not ancient, but they felt it. And they were intent on kind of playing to me music that was anti-establishment and different, and trying to explain that it wasn't just metal that did that. And tried to get me into like 80s punk and post-hardcore and new wave and goth. And, you know, they took me to Fugazi and New Model Army gigs and all these types of things. You know, I got it, you know, I really understood it. And I had a lot of good times with that. It didn't really change my musical tastes, but as soon as I just played the album straight through, you know, more than once as well. When you sent it across, and that it took me back to that, it took me back to those experiences. So that was, you know, that was a nice thing for me. I liked it. I like its minimalist with its instruments. It's straight, it feels strange, and that feels like incredible at points with that. And I just, you know, I don't know if I'll go back to it, but when I was listening to it, I felt like I was hugely into it, but without really knowing why.
Yeah, and I think it comes from a highly creative city. Yet Leipzig in Germany seems to be this almost like an epicenter of creative bands. It's like a lot of strange kind of punk and noise bands. We played a few, Setode and Swordbreaker are from there. And there just seems to be this kind of burgeoning kind of like left wing kind of underground there. I have heard sort of rumors that these like East German cities like were kind of being taken over by the far right. So loads of leftists from kind of like, you know, Berlin and that area. Move there to almost like counter that. And I think that's really inspiring. I don't know if this is the case with these guys. You know, they could be just from Leipzig and just happen to be in this amazing scene. But I thought this was really interesting. So the record is called Onion, and you can get it on Trivial Mind Records. You can get this via onion.bandcamp.com. And we're going to play one of the sort of short tracks. This is Shrunken Head. So that was a band called Onion. Absolutely brilliant stuff there, like proper like synth overload. Next up, we're going into this dense kind of decaying, like, I don't know, it feels like a digital kind of smear of a record, but it's like half an hour for two tracks of death metal. And this is just like punishing stuff, Pete. Features members of Friend, who we sort of opened the podcast with, as we've sort of like alluded to. And yeah, but we couldn't like skip this one. I think I would have picked this one as well. I had this on my sort of wish list, and it's given me a great excuse to buy it. So, yeah, just like a duo making very dense death metal in a traditional sense, I guess. But there's something about it, isn't there?
It's strange, yeah. It's just, yeah. You know, obviously kind of going into 2 30-minute tracks is, you know, death metal, of weird death metal is, you know, is an ordeal, is a you know, an experiment on yourself. But yeah, the fact it's on Cruel Nature, the fact that, you know, that kind of the pedigree of bands that they're in, and the links to, you know, bands like Friend, you know, already, just, you know, meant it was worth that investment. And you know, Cruel Nature as well put out 6 releases at the same time on the day this came out. You know, immediately 6 things came out, and there was, you know, like electronica and ambient and drone and punk, and then this, you know, Cruel Nature. You know, if Newcastle is a kind of, you know, up and coming, or the scene of the UK, then Cruel Nature is at its heart. I found this bewildering, but completely immediately knew we had to play it, because it's got its strangeness, you know, marks it out as something different. It just distorts and stretches and mutates it, so it becomes this sprawling, gurgling monster. You know, it's like a portal to stranger worlds. You know, it's like the logical endpoints of the bands who push death metal boundaries out there. You know, right through from Demolik and, you know, and bands like Portal themselves. So I don't know. I found myself lost in it. the only band that kind of I could really do a link to, which is probably a kind of a useless comparison because I'm not sure many people know of them, but they're called Drawn for Micah, who are from Sheffield.
Oh, yeah.
and kind of create similarly, you know, more people should get into that band. It's worth saying, you know, create this really strange death metal. You know, it's like a madness. It creates something genuinely compelling. And I think it's worth people kind of giving their time over to that and like losing themselves in it.
Absolutely. I mean, this could have been lost among the releases of the day as well. And I don't think much fanfare has been made about it. So I think it's not wasted, but it's going to like burn into the right minds and people who are sort of following this label. But hopefully by playing this, we'll get some more people interested. But yeah, this is so cool and so odd. It's like a perfect painting of a death metal record, and then someone's just like bleached it or something. It's so cool. So yeah, if you want to sort of order it, they've got a limited edition tape that's on pre-order now, only 40 copies of that in total, I think. So we're going to play an excerpt from the song Blinked. There's another track on there called Collapse, both half an hour each. And I encourage you to get lost like deeply in this. It's amazing stuff. At the moment, you can also get all 175 Cruel Nature Records releases digitally for about 20 quid. So that's probably a good idea as well. If you want to hear this, go to cruelnaturerecordings.bandcamp.com. So that was excellent, Dybbuk from Newcastle on Cruel Nature Recordings there. Next up, we've got the latest release from The Sludge Lord. This is amazing stuff. A band called Hush with an album called The Pornography of Ruin. Now, this band are formed of various members of bands that you probably wouldn't expect. So From Ashes Rise, I think, and Self-Defense Family, who are kind of this nomadic kind of collective, like making this really strange off-kilter hardcore. And I think that kind of bleeds into this this new band. So yeah, Hush sound, I don't know. It's just like, it's so ridiculously heavy, and I love the sort of scratchy vocals on this. Like Aaron's got a real good ear for kind of unusual but like bluntly heavy bands, and I think this is another one that's just kind of, yeah, ticks a lot of Sludge Lord boxes, really.
I never quite settled with this. I never knew where it was or where it was going, but I think that, you know, that is a good thing.
Yeah,
I think the opening, it felt like Neurosis vocals over a Kylesa track. And then it kind of just seemed to kind of remain there. It's like happily stalking the muddy waters rather than kind of kicking on. I just thought maybe it's just patiently holding on for what feels like the inevitable avalanche of whether that's going to come back in a massive sludge wave or, you know, in the kind of post-metal, you know, crescendo. But it doesn't exactly arrive. Instead, it just stays there. And you know, there's a bit where it's spoken word almost. It feels slightly artsy, but actually, since, you know, instead it kind of thickens the tense atmosphere. And then when the riffs do come, it was much slower than I imagined. It was way more doom than I thought it was. It was where it's heading. I never really kind of got my head around it. So much so that when it ends, it was only like 4 minutes long. I actually wished it had carried on. But then,
yeah,
perhaps that's, you know, I need the full album to kind of fully reveal all, I guess.
Yeah, it's such a strange track that, like, I want to hear the rest of it. And yeah, I think with particularly that link to Self-Defense Family, like, their records are wildly different from sort of release to release. And, you know, you'd kind of have to, like, figure out where they were going each time. And I think that might be where this record goes as well. So, yeah, really, really glad that something this unique's been put out on such a label that is mainly known for its noisy aggression, really. So excellent stuff. So as we said, the album's called The Pornography of Ruin via sludgelordrecords.bandcamp.com. We're gonna play the only track that's been released so far, which is There Can Be No Forgiveness Without the Shedding of Blood. that was an amazing new band called Hush on Sludge Lord Records. Absolutely brilliant stuff there. Next up, we've got a band called The Grey Goo. And I absolutely had no idea what to expect from this one, Pete, but it's this wonderful, like, psychedelic, slightly cod, like, sludge, like, psych sort of mess. And I absolutely loved it. The whole thing is just so interesting. And it feels like a really weird concept record. I don't know if you listened to that last track, Cop Punk, as well, because that's absolutely hilarious. It sort of like sets up with almost like a, you know, a cop like breaking down a door for like a drug raid or something. It's fantastic. It's like a knock knock joke gone wrong. I love it. But the whole record's so interesting, and it's got like loads of weird samples on it, loads of strange vocals. The riffs and the production are just like tip top. Really exciting stuff, and I can't wait to hear more, to be honest. I kind of want to dip back into, I think they put out a demo last year, so I'm going to go and listen to that as well. Yeah, I'm just really glad you found this one, Pete.
Yeah. I mean, the big bit for me, that those kind of funk interludes are just weird, you know. I think somewhere they describe themselves as doom funk fusion. You know, it's like it's the thing you didn't know you needed in your life, right? And
it
then even
work,
when you're told, even when you're told there is a band doing it, A, you know, you don't believe it's any, you know, it's an accurate description, B, no way that's going to be any good, but here we are. The artwork, kind of typical stoner psych artwork, but with three wizards riding a bike, that kind of drew me into this. It's a long track. This one, it's the opening track. It's got a really good video to it. It's psychedelic doom. It's got a bit of like The Sword or even Red Fang in there. And then it just breaks into a funk middle section. It's just like, you know, and you just end up going further down the hole from there onwards. I loved every second of it. You know, like I say, I loved every second of it. I was bits where I was just like, what are they doing? But I always kind of respected it for that. I always kind of loved the freedom of it. Even if I wasn't, you know, even if I was like, that's gone completely where I wouldn't expect and I'm not quite sure what I think about it, you've got to respect it and you've got to kind of just go along with the flow of it, I think. I think it's a song and an album where you just, you know, you hold your hands up and congratulate the band on their innovation and just their, you know, going their own way, because if this is the output, then more bands should do this.
Yeah, it's so strange. And I think that's kind of why I was drawn to, I mean, the funk bits kind of like completely blindsided me, but I was like, I actually love this, you know. I encourage people to just listen to the whole thing, because it's an absolute work of art, and I think it's one of my favorite records we found this year. If you want to hear this, the record's called 1943. You can get it at thegreygoo.bandcamp.com. And we're going to play the opening track. This is Bicycle Day. So that was a band called The Grey Goo. Absolutely amazing stuff there. Next up, we've got the return of Baselvart, who are a band from Flint, Michigan. And we've played before. We played a track from The Higher Power, which came out in September 2021. They've got a new record out called An Old Forgotten Text. And yeah, I got the email. Immediately listened, immediately had to play this opening track, The Master. Pete, I mean, we've sort of talked about this band before, but like the closest like comparison I can always make to this is Meads of Asphodel and the weird kind of black metal via kind of, I don't know, schizo, like almost Frank Zappa style weirdness. And the cover looks like some weird like occult slash you know, stonemasons kind of weird symbolic thing, maybe like a punk record from the 70s or something. It's, yeah, it's just so cool. Really, really interesting record, isn't it?
Yeah. Funnily enough, in terms of the cover, I had it like as a, you know, like back of the classroom, hand drawn, you know, by the lonely metalhead on a post-it note, you know, so,
yes. Yeah,
which is, you know, it takes into account the luminescent color. Yeah, you know, that last release, you know, there's been quite a lot of music vaguely like this in recent years, you know, concoctions of unlikely genres mixed with black metal, you know, like you think of the Grimestone roster, chiptune influences, surf rock black metal, you know, Gone Mage, Carineer, all that stuff. But nothing for me comes as close, you know, in terms of enjoyment as that last Baselvart release. You know, I think it was described as like Thin Lizzy gone grim, you know, and that concoction was genuinely incredible. I really loved that album. So yeah, we're both chuffed with an early return. It's not, well, it's not a year, is it? So I've been on holiday, so I've only had a chance to listen to this one track so far, but I'm going to devour the rest of this tomorrow. Yeah, a fast return. And if this, you know, the rest of the album's this good, it's, you know, it's, I'm really happy for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really dense record. It's absolutely crammed, and it's probably like over an hour in length as well, but it doesn't sort of suffer from that, which I think some bands who kind of explore stuff like this can. It just continues to kind of captivate and make an impression. So, yeah, so if you like the sound of this, the record's called An Old Forgotten Text, and get this at baselvart.bandcamp.com. This is The Master.
I'm
So that was the return of Basil Vaart. Absolutely amazing stuff there. Next up, we've got a band that I'd never come across before, and I'm really glad you've kind of picked, Pete. This is a band called Secret Fire from Santa Rosa, California. And it's just two tracks, a record called Din. This kind of like hit me from all sides, really. It's just so alive and, interesting. And I don't know, it conjured up bands like Comets on Fire, like that kind of wild Appalachian style of, like, I don't know, just it, almost like a folk via psych sort of sound, but with this heavy like underbelly to it. I just absolutely loved it. But both tracks are absolutely brilliant.
We picked 8 other tracks, which are completely bonkers this week, I think. Yes. And this is more, you know, this is less so. This is more traditionally, you know, Nine Hertz fare in the old days. But, you know, no doubt in my mind I was picking this from the second I played it. I just, you know, picked it on a whim based on the cover. You know, the cover's good, but it's, I don't know why. It's just, I just had a feeling for it. And yeah, I loved it. You just, and I think everyone will, surely. You know, if you don't love this after 3 seconds, then I don't understand you. It's just fried instrumental, heavy psych. You know, it's from California, which is probably apt. You know, think of, is that, you know, what those bands you mentioned, spot on. You know, you think of like Komodo Records and TP Records of the 2000s, and you know all their rosters. You know, think of like Earthless and Danover and Quest for Fire, and even like Nebula, I guess, with those wailing guitars. You know, I like I said on the last track, I was on holiday and I played this while I sat on the beach. I mean, it was North Wales, not California, but still, you know, I was, you know, it wasn't exactly the same temperature, but like, you know, sat there watching the windsurfers, and it felt brilliantly apt, and I love it.
Could almost blink and be on a Californian beach, you know.
Not Anglesey. Yeah.
Amazing. Anglesey versus California. Brilliant. I fully agree. It's just, it feels warm and it just feels like ecstatic, which is what I was after with we've kind of gone through the misery and the weirdness this week. And this is just something to kind of bring a smile to your face again. The record's called Din. You can get this at secretfirepsych.bandcamp.com, and we're going to play the song Smoke Whip. We'll be right back. So that was a band called Secret Fire. Next up, we've got a band from Leeds called On a Snop, who we've seen many times, and have been releasing music for a long, long time. And I'd kind of forgotten they're around for a little bit. So it must be about 2 or 3 years since I've seen them. And they've cropped up, they're coming out on Nerve Alter, which is amazing. A label from New York. They put out some of the world's best grindcore. Excellent kind of distribution for a band like this. And it feels like On a Snop might have kind of hit the big time here. So the name, I always think the name's amazing with this band, because it apparently comes from like someone who was really drunk sending them a predictive text message, and all it said was On a Snop. No idea what they were trying to communicate, but it's sort of lived on for several years now. Pete, I mean, we know the deal with this band. It's fast, it's heavy, it's disgusting. The cover is something else. I think people have to just go and have a look at this at nervealter.bandcamp.com. But yeah, I just thought this was like produced to it within an inch of its life, but it loses none of the punk energy.
Yeah, you know, I like the Nerve Alter description of them as like ingenious irreverence, which is perfect. It's not said in any way to be derogatory. You know, there's a reason On a Snop have prevailed for quite a few years now. It's, you know, the why they're loved by so many people, why they're the first band you'll find on the, you know, on a grindcore festival, you know, that you're heading to, because they'll be on that bill. You know, it's guaranteed practically. It's because they do this, you know, whatever this is, you know, it's fastcore, power violence, grindcore, whatever, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. They do it better than most, I think. You know, add in the fact that they're a northern band, a Yorkshire band, so, you know, we get the pleasure of seeing them more often than most. And speaking specifically to this EP, you know, they do have a skill, and I don't know, it's hard to kind of nail down what it is that kind of sets them apart, but they manage to kind of create a sound which still feels distinct, you know, between the tracks, despite the insane pace. You know, I would say like an airy touch to it, which is completely the wrong thing to say, but despite it pile driving ahead, it never descends into like this one amorphous blob. Like you can, you know, sometimes a power violence record can end, you know, in 5 minutes after you started. It's 10 tracks and you don't even realize it's skipped between them. It's not the case with On a Snop. There's, you know, distinction there. And I just think they sound as good as ever on here. And that's, you know, that's bearing in mind that, you know, they've put out great releases already. That's a really high praise, I think.
Absolutely. And I think, like I said before, Nerve Alter is a perfect home for them, because this will bring them to a new audience, which is always good. I mean, the whole thing is over in about 10 minutes, but you wouldn't know, to be honest. There's so much going on here. And it definitely sort of like warrants like multiple plays, which I always think is good with grindcore, because you kind of let grindcore kind of pass you by a little bit. And it's not the case here at all. So if you want to hear this, you can go to nervealter.bandcamp.com, and we're going to play a song called Impotent Machine. Okay, so that was On a Snop from Leeds, out now on Nerve Alter. Absolutely brilliant. So we're going to end this week with a band from Rio de Janeiro called La Trau. And this kind of blew my head off a little bit, Pete. So on sort of like first first viewing, this looks like any other kind of, I don't know, like sludgy kind of like hardcore release. But it's got kind of like weird instrumentation, like folded in, and like there's more going on than just like another heavy band here. I mean, there's a bit of drum and bass in the first track here, and it's just so unique that I had to keep playing it through like time after time. And I might have kind of worn this out for myself, really. I actually got the warning from Bandcamp before I bought it, like, you need to buy this now. I got that little message, that sweet little message that gives you. So yeah, that's always a good sign. The record's called Fardo Eterno. I mean, where did you find it?
I looked out on this one as well, just complete chance. And then, you know, a lot of, you know, that people know when you're on Bandcamp, it'll often, the band will have started you off on the track they want you to listen to first. And, you know, particularly when you've got an intro track or a track which is different from the rest, or, you know, like a lead off single, it'll point you there. So, but it didn't. It started you off on that first track, which, like you say, it's drum and bass, it's electronica. It's you know, it's strange. The last track is a remix of that as well.
Yeah.
But then in between, there's these three tracks which are completely different, and it throws you. And for some reason, I kind of, that, you know, it's really interesting opening track, but it wasn't, you know, it's not what I thought. And I suppose I could have easily skipped past, but I'm really glad I didn't. You know, it reminds me, I think what you're saying, like with the instrumentation, it reminds me of Def Kids, although maybe I'm just, you know, judging that because of shared Brazilian nationality, I don't know. But that's what, you know, it is. I think it's got some of that in there.
And then spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get in, you know, you get into these tracks, particularly this one, Culpa. It, you know, this is like full on scarred doom at points. You know, that it's described as sludge core. You know, it's slow and weighty. The vocals dominate, I think, completely fierce. It, you know, we're in Indian or Lord Mantis territory. You know, that's how fierce they are. And then I like how the pace flips as well, you know, between the typical sludge, like trudge, and then the faster hardcore pace. I suppose that justifies the sludgecore tag, I guess. And it reminds you of bands like Dystopia in many ways. The whole thing.
Yes, that's a great comparison, yeah.
Yeah, and the whole thing, it just feels thrilling, I thought. You know, it's absolutely kind of rotten sludge, but weirdly, like, vibrant and alive and colourful.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. I loved it. And I'm going to listen to it again. There's not much I go back to. You know, we're always on the hunt for new stuff. But I think this is one I'm going to actually return to and just play a few more times. If you want to hear this, you can go to litrau.bandcamp.com. Like I say, there's only sort of five tracks here, but they're all worth kind of hearing. We're going to play the song Culpa. And we'll see you next week.